back to the LifePoint DriveCast. My name is Cale Buer. I'm the teaching pastor at the Delaware campus. This past Sunday, we continued on in our series we're calling Impossible Christmas. And, you know, we're working our way through the various sort of Christmas, the narratives in the scriptures, the traditional passages. And today, I wanted to read to you from Luke 2, 4 through 7. It says, "If Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn." Many of us know this story, right, that the Roman government decreed a census, and people across the Roman world had to go back to their ancestral homes to be registered with the government. And so Joseph and Mary go back to his ancestral home. He's from the line of David, so he has to go back to Bethlehem. And when they get there, and the devotional, you can read it today, it talks about how, you know, scholars would have said lots of people are coming back to Bethlehem, and so it's going to be crowded. And there's this stunning picture where Joseph and Mary come back to Bethlehem, and they're about to have the baby. Jesus, Mary's going to have the baby. The Son of God is being born into the world. And already we've seen this sort of impossible, what we've called seemingly impossible, very unlikely nature of this, that he's going to be born to a teenage virgin and her soon-to-be husband, Joseph. This couple that is really quite lowly in social position. A teenage girl betrothed to a carpenter from a backwater town in the backwater region of Israel. And now you see the next, you know, part of it, that he's born in a manger. And he's born that there's no place for them in the inn. And so, once again, this moment, the humility, the humble circumstances of the birth of Jesus highlights again just the upside down nature of the kingdom of God. I think if you and I were writing a story about how is the King of the universe, how is the Son of God going to be born into the world, it's just hard for me to fathom that any of us would choose to do it this way. But God, in his infinite wisdom, in the upside down nature of the kingdom, in his care and concern for the poor and the rejected and the outcast, I was reading this morning, or later on in Luke, where John the Baptist questions Jesus and says, "Jesus, you know, are you the one, or are we to wait for someone else?" And Jesus sends John's disciples back to him with this answer. He's healing people that day, and he says, the blind see, and the lame walk, and the dead are raised up, and good news is proclaimed to the poor. I mean, there's just such an emphasis in Jesus's life and ministry on coming for the sinful, healing the broken, raising up the dead, identifying with the poor. I mean, just this upside down nature to the kingdom, where the world says, you know, the people who are important are the wealthy, the well-known, the educated, those who have a lot of power. And here, God, his own son, Jesus, the King of the universe, is born in a stable, in a manger, because there's no room for them in the inn. You say, what does this mean? I mean, for you and for me, what does it say about God, and what does that mean for us? I think we can think about it in a couple of different ways, maybe three different ways. One, recognizing that every single one of us, that the point of the gospel is not, you know, God loves poor people and he hates rich people. We need to recognize our spiritual poverty. Every single one of us, spiritually speaking, is in need, broken by sin, dead in our trespasses, and it is God, by his grace, through the birth, life, and death, and resurrection of Jesus, that makes us alive in Christ by grace through faith. So every one of us is spiritually poor, and Christ, the rich one, has come, and by his poverty has made us rich. God has sent Jesus in this lowly estate, like this, and then he lives the perfect life, and then dies on the cross. In this great exchange, our sin is put upon him, our lowness is put upon him, our brokenness put upon him, and we receive the riches of his love and grace. So that's one, recognizing, okay, spiritually speaking, all of us are poor, and we've been made rich by Christ. Secondly, I think it's a reminder and a celebration for those of us who are maybe in a season where you go, I'm in a season of feeling rejected. We don't have all the things that we need. We're dealing with some maybe material, just not poverty in the sense of not having what we need. We don't know where the provision's going to come from, or we feel like the outcast, or we just looked down upon. That God identifies with folks in those positions. I mean, Jesus was born in this humble estate, the upside down nature of the kingdom. And then thirdly, I think if you're listening and you're going, man, I don't feel like I fit any of those categories. I do feel seen. We have everything we need. We've been blessed. I think it's a reminder, okay, if you're in that situation, we are to take on the heart of our Heavenly Father, the heart of the gospel, and say, Lord, help me to be a blessing to those around me. Help me to see those who are hurting. Help me to meet the needs of those who can't meet their own needs right now. If you've given me more than I need, it's to help those who are in need. And God, this Christmas season, we want to reflect more and more the love of God, the love of Christ for the lowly, the hurting, the broken, and the rejected. I think in a very real way, you can see all of that in that simple statement, right? There was no room for them in the inn. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. This is a story, God, that we could not have written ourselves. I don't think it was made up by human minds. This is something that comes from you, Father, the unlikely, seemingly impossible nature of Christmas and just the upside-down nature of the kingdom. God, thank you that you have come for us in our spiritual brokenness and poverty, and you saved us. Father, thank you that you provide. And God, thank you that you show us what it looks like to love. Father, will you continue to shape us more and more into the image of Jesus? And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Take some time now to think, to reflect, and to pray.